Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our epistle reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 15, which I'd like to highlight for you, we hear this as a literal translation from the original Greek. Paul says, "Therefore then, brothers, stand firm and grasp strongly the truths handed down that you were taught, either through our word or through our letter." This is our text. A young couple, Trevor and Jenny, had the first argument of their marriage, the first big argument of their marriage. It happened around Christmas and had to do with the traditions handed down through each of their family's generations. Trevor's family celebrated Christmas on Christmas Eve. They had a huge family dinner, opened presents, and then went to the midnight candlelight service. Jenny's family, however, celebrated Christmas on Christmas Day. They got up early, opened presents, went to church, and then had a generous Christmas brunch. Now, both of them remembered their family traditions with great love, which meant that neither one of them wanted to try something new. And so their first Christmas as husband and wife, because they couldn't come to an agreement, they tried to satisfy both families. They opened some gifts on Christmas Eve and some on Christmas Day. They had a huge family dinner with Trevor's family on Christmas Eve and a huge family brunch with Jenny's family the next day. In the end, they were exhausted. Christmas wasn't satisfying for either one of them because it seemed like they spent just as much time in between the families as they did at either one. It wasn't until after they moved then for Jenny's job that they began to fall into a pattern of their own, an early Christmas Eve service, a family dinner, and then some gifts. And as they looked back later on, they shook their heads at how stubborn they both had been and how deeply angry they were with each other, they realized. They came to see that each one had selfishly loved their own man-made traditions, and that had kept them from being able to properly love the truth of Christ's birth, as well as their love for each other. Now, I suspect that most of you have had some variation on this kind of argument as well. It may not have been about Christmas, but perhaps it was about how to celebrate a birthday or how to discipline children. That's a good one. Or how to plan a family vacation. Of course, these things, though, affect much more than just individual families, don't they? Similar difficulties find their way right into the family of Christ and often affect His entire church in dramatic ways. Look, traditions, those practices that we pass down from generation to generation, are important in our lives together. Traditions are often the ways that we learn to experience and share God's love with one another. But sometimes those man-made traditions of love can become too important. So important, in fact, that we find ourselves loving the traditions more than we love the truths that those traditions are supposed to be teaching to us. And then, ironically, we get angry and we end up fighting about a tradition to the point that we lose or sometimes even turn away from our love for the truth about Christ. It is to this type of church family that God brings his message today in our epistle reading. God encourages us not to leave his handed down truth, but because of our deep love for man-made traditions, or not to do so because of our deep love for man-made traditions, but instead to love his truth so that then we practice traditions filled with that love. In our text, Paul is working with a newly formed Christian church. They're trying to figure out their traditions. It's the church in Thessalonica, and it had a rough beginning. It was on Paul's second missionary journey that he visited Thessalonica, preaching in their synagogue. But he was only able to stay for a very short time because the Jews that were there in that town, they became jealous, we're told, of Paul's teaching about Jesus. And so he had to leave, and those with him, for their own safety. Still, Paul was deeply concerned about this church's start. Had he been able to hand down enough of God's truth for them to survive the persecution they were facing there? Was Paul there long enough to help them establish faithful traditions of the faith? You see, Paul heard that they were being tempted to believe that Jesus has already returned. Paul had taught them what to look for, what had to happen before Jesus could return when he was there in their midst. And that's why in verse 5 he says, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" But instead of holding on to Paul's teaching, they were now leaving it behind. And it's easy to understand their confusion because verse 2 says that someone had either prophesied, that's what's meant by being in the Spirit, had either prophesied or taught or written a letter to them, making it seem like it was coming from Paul with a new teaching that was different from what he had taught. And this was leading them to, quote, quickly be shaken in mind or alarmed. So that they were letting go of the true Christian teaching, the tradition that Paul had given to them. And so Paul writes them here in his second letter, and he calls on them not to be so easily swayed from the handed down truths of Jesus, but instead to hold on to the established truths and practices, those teachings and the traditions that he had given them. You see, Paul knew how important it is for Christians then and still today to hold on to the teachings and the practices of the faith rather than leave them behind. But here's the thing. Just as some people too quickly and too easily leave the passed down teachings and truths of God, others can fall in love with and hold on too rigidly to the traditions of man that they have. Paul shows that God's people have struggled throughout history, in fact, with loving their traditions even more than they love God. Throughout the history of Israel, God corrects his people when they do this. In Isaiah chapter 1, God calls Israel to repentance, in fact, for believing that all that God expected of them, they thought, was that they performed the earthly traditions. Just kind of show up, sit in the pew, do the worship stuff, open your Bible maybe once on Christmas or maybe on Easter, and, you know, just do those things and you're good. But God says, quote, "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates, declares God. Seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause." You see, God's people had become so focused on their traditions of worship that they failed to actually engage in the life of his kingdom. And they were not even caring for the oppressed or the suffering or the widows, just as he had taught them to do. That's the living out of the faith. In Jesus' day, we see a similar situation. He often corrected the religious leaders when they loved their Jewish traditions more than God. And that correction was met with resistance, as we all know. They refused to listen to Jesus' loving correction, even to the point that the religious leaders looked for a way to kill Jesus. Now just imagine the depth of that. They are gathering in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. That is supposed to be the holiest day for their own, holiest day of their faith. And yet their selfish love for their own man-made laws and traditions corrupts them so that they are consumed instead with plans to kill Jesus. They may be keeping the tradition of Passover, but all the while, they are murdering their God. So you could actually say that Jesus died because of our love of tradition. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus also died and rose because of God's love for you and me and all of his people. On that very same Passover, God the Father sent Jesus, his Son, to take our place under his judgment of sin so that he could rise from the dead and bring us into new life in the kingdom under him and his victory. And now in this letter from Paul to the new Christians in Thessalonica, we see that this same risen, this same ascended Lord now sends his apostle Paul to teach and encourage Christians in every generation to fully embrace, to participate in the timeless truths and traditions of his gospel love. You see, it's not that God wants us to leave our Christian traditions, far from it. It's just that we are not to love our traditions more than we love God. Instead, he calls on us to carefully, prayerfully, scripturally practice the handed down traditions in both his truth and love. In this text today, Paul directs God's people to a better, more fruitful way. Rather than allowing themselves to be so quickly shaken, as Paul says, and turned away from the established teaching that Paul had handed down to them about the second coming of Christ, Paul directs the Thessalonians in verse 15, as again we find it literally in the original Greek, to quote, "Stand firm and grasp strongly the truths handed down that you were taught, either through our word or through our letter." The Greek word that many of our English Bibles have as traditions is paradosis, and it refers to Christian truths and doctrine that was handed down from generation to generation. That's how they get to the translation of traditions, but it's the content of those traditions that are the Christian truths. And theologians, in fact, actually think that Paul is referencing here an early catechism of sorts that was based on the teachings of Jesus himself. Paul makes a point in surrounding these verses of his call to the Thessalonians to emphasize God's unending love for these new believers in Christ. He assures them in verse 13 that God the Father, quote, chose them to be some of the first fruits for salvation when he sent Paul to them to proclaim, to pass on to them this gospel of truth. And not only that, he assures them that God the Spirit is working to set them apart from those who are around them who are rejecting Jesus and his saving work by sanctifying them, by strengthening them in the one true faith. And still more, Paul reminds them again that God the Son has been raised from the dead to his eternal rule in glory, and that he will work to comfort their hearts, to establish them in their Christian lives until the day when Jesus actually does return. My friends, that is still our Christian duty today, that we be, quote, established in every good work and word, as verse 17 says. Just as the triune God worked through the word and the traditions passed down through Paul, so he is still at work for the salvation of his people, of you and me today. Through the same word, through many of the same traditions of truth that we have received in and through his church. Bud's wife died 2 years ago. Now, if you were to talk to him, he would tell you how difficult the transition has been to the way of his life that is now without her. "I'm a different person," he once said. It's like I woke up one morning and someone had removed one of my limbs. I don't want to live without a limb, but it's the only way forward for me. One of the things that gets Bud through his day now is his afternoon coffee and devotion. You see, he sits in the chair that his wife used to sit in, and he uses one of the many devotional books that she had on the shelf. Before her death, Bud never read devotional books. That was her tradition. What she did in the morning after breakfast. He wasn't against it. It just didn't work for him. But now he has picked up and follows her example. In the afternoon, he makes a cup of coffee and he sits in her chair and he reads one of her books and spends time in thought and prayer. Though he may not realize it, Bud has picked up a tradition that his wife passed on to him. A tradition filled both with truth, God's word, and love. Just as Paul's life set an example for the Thessalonians, so your lives and mine have the possibility, my friends, of becoming a tradition of truth and love for others. It may be the way that you treat your coworkers at the office. It may be how you raise your children. It may be how you keep a list of people to pray for during the week, or the way that you teach others about Jesus in your daily conversations and activities. As you and I remember the past and now prepare for the future, we all have certain truths and traditions that we cultivate each day. At the heart of our Christian traditions is the love that God has poured out for all people in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My dear people, it is my prayer that Jesus will always be at the heart of our traditions, so that we never love our traditions more than we love God and his saving truth. And just as Jesus holds fast to us in his immeasurable saving grace, may you and I always stand firm, as Paul says, and grasp strongly the truths and the traditions that God has handed down to us in his gospel of love. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.